Good evening, anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 10th of November. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear, and more importantly, they will show you how to use it. How good is that? Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, in tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out the river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy. Our fresh water reporters check in, and we will, as always, finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Some fly fishing news. The moon phases. The next new moon is on the 19th of November. A new moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 0 degrees. At this time, the moon does not appear to be illuminated. What does it mean? Well, a couple of days either side of the new moon will offer the best fishing for freshwater anglers. Start planning your fishing trip away now. Remember that? The 19th of November. Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite. Full moon, fisherman's folly. The next meeting of the Auckland Freshwater Anglers Club is on Monday night, the 13th. They meet at the Panmure Yacht and Boating Club, Kings Road, Panmure, at 7:30 p.m. Everyone's invited and it is free to attend. How good's that? Now, Monday night at 6:30, they're going to be holding a casting competition. Go along, have a cast. Also, there's going to be some double-handed rods there that you can try out. If you haven't had a go at that, 6:30, Monday night, Panmure Yacht and Boating Club. Now, you can look at their website, which is afac.org.nz, Auckland Freshwater Anglers Club.org.nz. If you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you can contact Hooked on Fly Fishing by emailing me, Colin, on col.pamatextra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Okay, let's look at some weather. Met Service weather, the Auckland Marine Forecast. The situation? A weak ridge lies over the North Island. A complex trough moves onto the upper North Island from the north on Friday, then moves slowly southeastwards during Saturday. Another weak ridge spreads over much of the country on Sunday. Now, forecast for Manukau and Waitemata Harbour, Saturday, becoming southerly 25 knots, but 35 knots about the Gulf in the morning, rain to showers later. Manukau and Waitemata on Sunday easing to southerly 20 knots everywhere early and to 15 knots later. A few showers. Met Service Waikato. Saturday, rain and gusty southerlies both easing in the evening. Sunday in the Waikato, cloudy with the odd shower at first, then fine spells increasing from evening, southeasterlies dying out. Rotorua anglers, the forecast for Saturday, rain easing to a few showers at night, southeasterlies strong in exposed places, easing and turning southwest in the evening. Sunday in Rotorua, mostly cloudy but fine spells increasing from evening, southerlies. Now, Taupo anglers, your forecast for Saturday, cloudy. Occasional rain easing to isolated showers at night, gusty southerlies easing in the evening. Sunday in Taupo will be mostly cloudy with a few morning showers in the west, then fine spells increasing in the evening, southeasterlies. Up and over the hill in Taumarunui, your forecast for Saturday, scattered rain developing in the morning, easing to isolated showers at night, gusty southeasterlies easing and turning southwest in the evening. Sunday in Taumarunui, mostly cloudy but fine spells increasing from evening, southeasterlies. Our South Island anglers in the Canterbury Plains region, your forecast for Saturday, partly cloudy with a few showers, cloud increasing in the evening, light winds. Sunday in the Canterbury Plains, mostly cloudy with a few showers, retreating to the foothills in the evening, southerlies developing. Thanks to Met Service for those reports. We do appreciate that. Now, let's look at some river levels. The Puni River, 23 kilometres south of Te Awamutu, is currently at 9.5 metres. It's flowing at 17 cumecs. That's down from a high of 27 cumecs midweek. The Mangatutu River, the next one over, is at 1.6 metres and falling. It's flowing at 5.5 cumecs, down from 12. The Ohinamuri River, measured at Karangaheke between Pairoa and Waihi, is currently at 12 metres and falling. It's flowing at 9 cumecs. That's well down on last week. And we saw online today that a truck's gone over the bank and 10 metres down from the road. Expect long delays through the Karangaheke Gorge. Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo is at 0.6 of a metre, and that's well up on last week. The Waipa River, measured at Otiwa, is at 76.05 metres. It's falling. However, it's flowing at 18 cumecs, too fast to fish at Otiwa. The Whakapapa River is at 3.1 cumecs, the same as last week. And the Whanganui River, measured at Puriaka, is at 25 cubic metres per second. That's down from a high of 88 cumecs. The Tongariro River, measured at Tūrangi, is at 30 cumecs. That's down on last week. Now, there is rain forecast, as we've heard. These rivers, you need to be very careful. You can still go fishing, but be very careful when wading. Now, thanks to Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy for the information. Now, because there's rain in the air, I thought I'd give you some tactics for fly fishing in the rain. Trout rise to the surface during rainstorms. The extra disturbance on the water oxygenates the upper layers and cools the water temperature to a more pleasant, fish-friendly environment. The trout feel safer as choppy water makes them invisible to birds of prey. The falling rain beats down flying insects and forces them onto and sometimes under the water surface. Heavy rain also washes terrestrial insects into the water from the land, overhanging trees and shrubs. Summer storms also are prime time for subsurface fishing. When all the fair weather fishermen are hiding under trees or in their cars, you will reap the rewards of some exciting fishing if you stay out in the rain. Just cast out your fly and let the rain drown it, just like what is happening to the real insects. Do not add any floated. It is best to cast frequently as you will cover more water, and I have found that the fly is normally taken just after it has broken the water surface. Fishing in heavy rain is an ideal time to try out new patterns. Trout have learned to expect a variety of different foods, not normally available to them, washed into the lake or river from various sources. They have learned to expect this bounty when the skies darken and the heavy raindrops pound the water surface. It all makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, we'll have a very quick break and then the first of our fishing reports. Patty C and another man named Bello moving around.
stops. One of us had better call up the cops. Enzo Petty calls the cops. And they arrive on the scene with their red lights flashing in a hot New Jersey night. Meanwhile, far away in another part of town, Reuben Carter and a couple of friends are driving around. But a middleweight crown had no idea what kind of shit was about to go down. When a cop pulled him over to the side of the road, just like the time before and the time before that. In Patterson, that's just the way things go. If you're black, you might as
you're
well.
You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Martin Langlis is based in the South Arm, and Martin has many years' experience as a fisherman, a fly tyer, a casting instructor and a fishing guide, a photographer, a blogger, a Facebooker, and everything. He makes DVDs, he writes articles, everything. Now, Martin's aim when he's fishing with a client is to be innovative, informative, friendly and professional. Martin, as always, is live on air with us now because we don't pre-record this stuff. Good evening, Martin.
Hello, how are you going today?
I'm good, you well?
Really good, thanks.
Okay, since we spoke last Friday, tell us about the weather down your way. How's it
been? Yeah, for sure, since we spoke last Friday. Well, as we keep saying, really dynamic. So we spoke last Friday, the weekend, Saturday, Sunday wasn't too bad, and then we moved into a really strong nor-west cycle of gale force winds sort of Monday, Tuesday. Then we had a really quite a nasty storm that sort of peaked, I think, on late Tuesday, early Wednesday. So, you know, mixed bag. You know, we had quite a bit of rain in some catchments, a lot of winds, some beautiful fine days in between them. So it's come good now. The weekend now looks really good. Calmer, cooler sort of temperatures. So, you know, dynamic as always.
Okay. I saw something on news, I don't know, midweek. Mm-hmm. Someone was driving, trying to ford the Waimakariri River or something.
Looks, yeah, the Waimakariri, you know, these rivers have huge catchments down here, some of these rivers, especially, you know, the big braided rivers that come off the Southern Alps, like, say, you know, the Rangitata, the Rakaia, the Waimakariri, Hiranui and the Waia. They're the main braided rivers here. And the Waimakariri is just literally 7 km from where I live. And I know it intimately. And that was flowing away at 135 cumics. And that just apparently went up to 800 in literally 3 or 4 hours.
Goodness.
So often people park on those riverbeds, the big wide open. I've even seen people at the Waimakariri Gorge, which I, you know, cross quite a bit when I go to work. And, yeah, you'll often see the big river and there's, you know, just a little, you know, typical braided rivers, just a small, well, a fairly sizable channel flowing, but a huge riverbed. And a lot of camper vans, for example, tourists go down and park there and camp overnight, not knowing that that can all be underwater in the morning.
Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah, well, they rise quickly.
So they did that rescue, and it all worked well for those people. But again, you know, just have to be very respectful of those really big, large braided rivers. They're killers.
But these tourists wouldn't necessarily know all that, would they?
Tourists wouldn't really necessarily know. Yeah. I think that's the big thing. I think really, you know, district councils need to put signs on.
Yes.
You know, because it really is. I mean, you know, they can, you know, look so beautiful and blue and they're nice and clear and, you know, and people think, oh, yeah, even if it comes high, it's not going to come up. But, yeah, they're just huge, huge catchments. That's, I think, the thing about the South Island, really vast catchments. And that was a sudden, dramatic storm that happened on Tuesday night.
Yeah, hell yeah. They were lucky to get out, those people. Yeah.
Sure were.
Coast Guard, I think, helped out and everyone got involved. It was good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was really good. No, okay. No, it was good. No, yeah. It happens. It's happened two or three times around here. This winter especially too, there were a few more incidents where people tried to ford over fords that are normally really low and got swept away. It happened twice in this area that I live in, the Selwyn District. I know two cars got swept away. So, you know, it's just that age-old respect for water and how dynamic it can be.
Yeah,
very elusive when you look at it when it's nice and calm.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. You've been out fishing this week?
Where yeah, have I have. Been? Yeah, I've been out fishing this week and, you know, really quite quite a nice week. You know, so my main emphasis when I was guiding this week was sort of trying to get into sheltered areas because we had this really strong nor'west airflow, and that went well. We managed to find sheltered areas. So, yeah, good number of fish, pretty hard to catch. What we found this week on low flow rivers, the catchments we just talked about are the nor'west, the divide catchments. A lot of the foothill catchments are going quite low. And we found we had to use really small nymphs. You know, we were into that sort of zone of size 16, size 18 nymphs.
Okay.
And sort of did okay on that. But, yeah, we found some of the fishing, spotted a lot of fish, but quite hard to get, you know, which is quite good and challenging. We even had one fish where we worked for 1 hour. Like, we just went through the fly box, boom, 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 literally had to walk away, and the trout was still feeding. So, you know, some quite technical, tricky fishery, which was rewarding. We caught a few each day. That was nice.
Okay.
And then we had one amazing day that unfolded where we were using long leaders, you know, 16, 18-foot leaders. And this particular day, which was on Tuesday, the fish just started to rise to mayflies, and basically we just dry flied all day, and it was amazing.
Oh,
you know, most fish we put the size 14 parachute dries on would come and take, so that was really, really good.
Excellent. And your clients, these are overseas clients, are they?
Yeah, overseas, yeah. Yeah, okay. This particular client was Norwegian that I had earlier this week, and I even managed to get out one day myself and have a little bit of a morning fish, so that was quite good. So it's really good. As I said last week, all the lakes are open. Yeah, the Big Braided Rivers are out of commission, they're high. The foothill catchments are all pretty low and clear, so a lot of options out there.
Okay, high country lakes, as you say, are open now.
Yeah.
And you're fishing around the edges, around the weed beds, are you?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the high country lakes are really good. I mean, you know, the thing I'd really advocate with the high country lakes in our area, especially in the Canterbury area that I frequently talk about, they're all sized lakes, and a lot of the small ones are really nice. They're quite intimate, browns and rainbows, and they really fish well from, you know, November, December. Yeah, they peak sort of December. They'll fish until January, and then they start to fade out. So now's your time to get into them. Yeah, fishing around the edges, you can. A lot of them is sight fishing. A lot of it'll be green beetle hatches, damselfly hatches, midge hatches, so a little bit of dry fly, you know, if you have the calmer days. And then if there's a bit of a wind up, you know, just the woolly buggers, leeches and stuff like that, dragonfly nymphs, particularly in really, you know, quite an important food source, damselfly nymphs, just fish blind, cast and retrieving.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, that's the great thing about the lakes, quite dynamic. Yeah, you can sight fish the edge, bit of blind fishing, bit of dry fly fishing, bit of streamer fishing.
What I find with my streamer fishing, Martin, I mix up my retrieve. I might go slow, quick.
Yeah, good
quick,
idea.
Quick, slow, or knitting or figure eight or whatever.
Yeah.
But do you know what happens? When I hook a bloody fish and I get all excited and we land the thing and we release it, I can never remember which retrieve I
fished. You've got to laugh, don't you? Like a lot of things, no rhyme or reason.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that fishing, I'm much like you. Sometimes, fast retrieve can work real well. And, it's always hard to know exactly what you're doing. But, no rhyme or reason. It's so different on different days.
Well, you just mix it up until it works, eh?
Mix it up until it works. I think, the important thing is with lakes, all very well with there's no wind, you're going to see fish or you're going to see rises when the wind comes, which invariably does come in my area. Then, you've got to get a little bit more clever and think about, okay, long leader and weighted, woolly buggers, dragonfly nymphs. Getting to the right depth becomes key, and I think sink tip lines, intermediate lines, even fast sinking lines, really important to get to the right depth. A lot of fish, when it becomes windy at this time of year, they'll still feed avidly, but they'll pretty well be out on the bottom. So getting to the right depth is your key.
Yeah, I find what I try and do, cast and then count down before you start retrieving, then a little bit longer the next time and a little bit longer.
Oh, look, that's got to be so important. I mean, I did a wee bit of that myself when I fished this week, and it's easy to sort of just hobby a streamer 5 feet under the surface where you might allure the odd fish, but you're really cutting yourself out of the game. And I think that, on the next phase is, if anybody listening is on those lakes and it goes quiet, remember to use a fast sinking line. with a floating fly, so the heave and leave thing. So, you know, the fly line goes right to the bottom, but the fly floats. It doesn't have to be a glow bug. I know in the North Island you guys do a lot of that. You know, you can use floating dragonfly nymphs. You can use floating snails. You can use floating weed case caddis. So that's something I've become more and more interested in.
Yeah, so that's the fly's sort of hovering just off the bottom.
Yeah, the fly's hovering, and that way you can be really sure that you're on the bottom. And, you know, you're giving yourself a much better chance.
I understand, You just mix it
but,
up.
You know, as I say, it doesn't have to be, you know, a lot of people use the boobies and the glow bugs. That's cool, that works, we know that, works particularly well for rainbows. But, you know, my whole thought process is, you know, floating dragonflies made from foam, floating snails made from foam, even floating damselflies. So, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot to be said, you know, for just thinking in those sort of ways.
Okay. Now, if I have a full sinking line dragging along the bottom with a floating fly, what are you talking about, your tip of terror, a metre?
Yeah, there you go. Look, I'm not an expert on it. I'm only learning this more and more myself. For the first time, I focused on it this winter on our bigger lakes, like Lake Coleridge, and I really have become enamoured with it. You know, heave and leave. It's fascinating, and man, it works.
Okay.
By goodness, you get some of the bigger fish on it. There's no question. So, yeah, look, I'm thinking in terms of, metre, 2 metres.
Okay, yeah.
But as I say, look, learning a lot myself, if you know, it depends upon the type of bottom the lakes have. Some of ours have quite stony, so obviously a shorter lead is good. But if you're over a weed bed, you may need to have it a little bit longer.
I understand, yeah.
Now so, you know, a lot to it.
You said the lake fishing tends to go off maybe January onwards. Is that because it gets too warm?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting thing. I think a lot of it relates to nature's frequencies, to not want to sound too scientific or esoteric. But, you know, right now dragonflies are hatching big time. You know, damselflies are hatching big time. So, you know, a lot of those aquatic insects that are in the lakes are really active right now. And that continues. That sort of, if you graph it, keeps going up and up and up through November, up and up through December, peaks about the end of December and then falls off. So I think a lot of it has to do with the insect activity slash water temperature for sure.
Okay, I understand. Yeah. Now, I was looking at your Facebook page today. Tell us about the Hakateri Caddis Dry.
Yeah, the Hakateri Caddis. Okay, cool. That's the Hakateri region is the Ashburton region. And in the Ashburton High Country, we have a really nice set of lakes up there, the Ashburton Lakes, you know, consisting of Lake Clearwater, Lake Heron, Lake Emma. The list goes on. Lots of lakes up there, you know, some big, some small. They're really beautiful, tussocked, glacial moraine-type lakes that tend not to be deep. And over the years, as I fish there, often we turn up in the early mornings and there are just immense amounts of caddis in lakes, in these lakes especially, because they're not deep shingle lakes. They've all got, they're quite swampy and alike. So high population of caddis. So look, today I'm thinking of going up tomorrow with a friend just to have a bit of fun, do some lake fishing, which is, you know, a passion that I don't have a lot of time for. And today I just thought, I'll tie up some caddis. So it's an elongated caddis. These caddis can be quite big. Yeah, look, just something new to try, something that's been on my mind. I always like experimenting. A lot of times my experiments don't come off. Sometimes they do. So, yeah, the Hakateri caddis is particularly for the Ashburton Lakes. And, you know, early morning. And I've also designed it so that it can, it's got a poly yarn column on the top, so I can put a bit of floatant on and maybe hang light nymphs underneath it.
Oh, I see, yes.
And so, you know, the game is that, yeah, you know, the game, so I'll sort of probably do that. And, you know, I've just, you know, the experimental side to it all is really fascinating to me.
And you've got some rubber legs sticking out of it.
Yeah,
too,
a little bit of rubber legs and nice big feelers. You know, these caddis are really quite big. I mean, if I was to visualise one in front of me now, they're nigh on an inch long. They're really big.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's testament, too, to another side of still waters that a lot of people don't understand, especially shallower still waters, swampy still waters, that there is a lot of caddis in those lakes.
Okay.
And these caddis build a case of weed around themselves. Weed case caddis.
Really?
And it's been a huge focus for me for the last 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah, look, it's often overlooked. And, you know, being a commercial fly tyer for years, I've had people come in and, you know, ask me, you know, we always talk and they say, oh, yeah, I've got a lovely fish at Lake X. What? And, you know, I cleaned it and kept it because some of our people like to eat fish and that's great.
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, it was full of weed. you know, when they look in the stomach. And I go, uh-huh, yeah. It looks like weed, but it's actually, you know, it's a caddis. You know, I mean, I'm sure you're aware of, like, a horn case caddis, and there are caddis in rivers that build stone cases on them.
Okay,
well,
yes.
In our still waters, and this is very universal throughout New Zealand, a lot of the caddis and lakes will build a little house around themselves with weed. So, you know, if my main tip, if you're fishing lakes and you're interested in designing some trout flies or whatever, weed-cased caddis, huge.
All right.
Huge. Well, I'm lucky enough to have developed turf free that are just incredible.
All right. Now,
these flies really got good results. I actually want to take them to public. I'm thinking of writing an article or doing something with it because it's been a real focus.
All right. Do that, Martin, and let us know.
Oh, no, look, I'd really love to. Yeah. So, you know, some of the overseas people are onto it. So it's just, there you go, it's an obscure food source, isn't it? When everybody thinks lakes, you think damselfly, dragonfly, snail, water boatman, midge.
Yeah.
Ah, weed case caddis. And just caddis is so universal. Be you in rivers or lakes. You know, a lot of our focus tends to go on mayflies. We often talk about it, but you know, really do we talk about cased caddis in all their various forms? And they are humongous.
All right. Put it in writing and let us know and we'll talk about it. Yeah.
Love to.
Excellent.
Yep. No, it's definitely was on my mind today because I had a most amazing experience yesterday where we got a 12-pound brown.
Goodness me, that's
beautiful. Yeah, the most amazing fish I've seen since the mouse year. And that was in a still water situation, and that was on a weed case caddis.
Well, there you go.
So, you know, that's just to me, it was just, you know, amazing, you know, after all those years. So, yeah, look, there's a lot to be done. I mean, I was lucky there. I mean, some of my father's friends, they were really big lake fishermen in the, you know, as I tagged along as a kid in the 70s, and I remember even they were really quite good fly tyres, and they were onto it. They were stick caddis. Australian used stick caddis a lot.
Okay.
You know, so that, you know, it's not an unknown idea. So research stick caddis, weed case caddis. If any listeners are interested in taking their still water to another level.
All right.
And I often fish them under an indicator. I mean, you hear the way I'm raving on. I'm excited about it. And, I really do want to communicate it to people.
Okay.
You know, you can fish them under an indicator and they, it's great.
All right, thank you, Martin. Excellent information, as always. We do appreciate it.
Oh, I'd love to share it. So, yeah. All systems go down here. A lot of the Foothill River's really good. The Big Barrier River's out of commission. All of the lake's really good. It's a southerly airflow this week, so no excuses with winds.
Yeah.
So, you know, really, all systems go.
Get out there, get amongst them. Thank you, Martin. Now,
My pleasure, thank you.
Your contact details, please.
Sure, you can contact me at www.troutlands.com. That's my website. Or you can find me, just put in Martin Langlands, Langlands, into Google, and I'm sure you'll come up with me and we can go from there.
All right, that's Martin Langlands on Facebook or troutlands.com. Martin, we do appreciate it. Lovely talk to you.
Oh,
catch
no,
you next
always
week.
Really nice talking. And, you know, any time. I'll put a link on Facebook to the radio show last night. I did it last week, and it's quite good. A lot of people, you know, when they realise that you don't have to listen to the show now, you can listen to it during the week.
At any time.
A really good thing. So, I'll put a link for you right now.
Thank you, Martin.
Okay, see you soon.
See you.
Thank you. Bye.
Mr. Martin Langlands. Have a look on troutlands.com or Martin Langlands Facebook. He's got an excellent website and photography and flies and everything. It's good. Thank you, Martin. Okay, quick break and then more fishing stuff. We'll be right back. listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Bert Robinson is a long-time Rotorua resident and an even longer-time Rotorua angler. Bert is an expert angler, I can assure you of that. And as always, Bert is live on air with us now from Rotorua. Good evening, Bert.
Yeah, I'm Colin.
How you doing?
I am.
Now, has Rotorua entered a drought period yet?
Unfortunately, no. we've had a couple of nice days, but they weren't consecutive. Today wasn't too bad. It was quite a bit of cloud, but no rain. But it's certainly going to close in tomorrow and be a bit of a nasty, especially with a southeasterly wind, which is going to be quite cold. Just when Lake Rotorua temperature was starting to come up, it was going to plummet again. So. It's going to set things back a little bit. But in saying that, there have been fish around at Hamurana. Spin fishing has been the way to get them.
Okay.
They're in fairly close, and there's quite a significant weed bed growing over the spring. It was sprayed off last year, but it's come back this year, and the fish are there feeding. Now, they seem to be feeding mostly on snails and caddis.
Yes.
And I'm finding that in quite a few of the fish that I've been catching down at O'Kerry Falls as well. But some of those fish down there have got quite big smelt in them and very large galaxids.
Okay.
Nikokabuli in particular, and they are up to nearly 100 millimetres.
Okay, that's big.
Mm.
Hell, yeah. Well, it's interesting. Just talking to Martin Langlands in the South Island, and they're inundated with caddis at the moment, and yeah, it's going very well down in the lake fishing down there.
Yeah, well, it could well be happening here too. The fish seem to be feeding over the weed beds. They're actively feeding. There's still quite a lot of recovering fish around. But with the water temperatures the way they are, I don't know that we're going to be getting much in the way of continuation of the sporting, although I did catch two fish last weekend that were actively spawning, so that they are around, but as I say, most of them are recovering fish or recovered fish.
Okay.
With a few maidens in amongst them, so there's some quite nice fish out there.
All right. Now, approximately 3 weeks' time, the Upper Nongataha opens. What are you predicting for that? Have you been for a walk up there and had a look around? Or?
Yeah, it's a lot different from what it was, but that happens every winter, but yes. Probably more so this one because of the horrendous amounts of rain that we've had over the winter and the huge flood that we had. The river had been so high it actually flooded a couple of the local streets. Backed up through the stormwater drain, and that's significantly higher than the river, so that river was up pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be different. It's going to be a challenge. Some of the pools are no longer there, and new ones have formed, but there's a lot of tree debris in places too where trees have been undercut on the banks and dropped into the river and hung up somewhere along the way, and that's where you're going to find your big brown trout, that's for sure.
Okay. When you go up Paradise Valley Road to the second angler's access sign before you get to the hatchery on your right there, if you go in the river there and go upstream towards Sally Spear's old place.
Yep.
There's used to be at the bottom of Sally's place there was a gate with a chair on the bend on the corner.
Yep.
Has that all been undercut, do you think?
Well, it's a pretty big sort of cliff face there.
Yeah.
And you've got a lot of flat land out around it. But what happens is that the area between the Agrodome, or just downstream of the Agrodome, where the Agrodome property actually starts, and up to where the bridges into the Agrodome itself is, that part of the river is totally choked with willows.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that causes major problems. There's quite high banks down there, and what happens is that the water backs up behind that, so you up as far as the area you spoke of, you're probably not going to get quite as much current as you normally would if that area was clear.
Okay.
And that probably accounts for the flooding in some of the streets as well, because it's in the area where it will back up come up through the stormwater drains.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has the trout been able to get up there with the move up
there?
Oh,
absolutely. Trout are amazing creatures. It's amazing what they can do and where they can go. You know, even some significant waterfalls don't stop them. The big one on the Kaituna, the last one on the Kaituna down at the end of Trout Falls Road stops them from getting up, but doesn't stop them trying. And the other thing too is that I know a few years ago there was a thing done in Taupo on the trout, and they found that the trout on one side of the lake, or there was a number of slimmer trout than what was expected. And a lot of those streams that come in off the western side do have waterfalls on them. So the fat fish couldn't get up, so the slimmer fish did, and that became the progeny from that became were slimmer fish.
Okay.
There was like a natural selection because of the waterfall.
I can see that being, see that works. Yeah, okay. Now, what have you heard about the lakes?
As I say, there's a few fish around Hamarana and probably a few over the weed beds at Awaho. Now, what I've done there is I've used a floating line indicator and a 4 to 5 foot trace with a couple of nymphs on it, and done very well there over the years. I haven't been there doing it this year, but it is a good option. Plenty of fish coming up the Nongataha. And quite a few up the wider tea, so it's just a matter of being at the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. Rarefakaitu is still producing some quite good fish that hasn't heated up enough yet to drive the fish away from the shore. Quite a few smelt coming in. And Okara is still producing a few fish, so there's plenty of action out that way. Shoreline fishing's been pretty tough around on the other lakes, although Okataina at this time of the year quite often has a number of fish cruising along that main beach. Yes. Mostly recovering fish, but the occasional maiden as well.
Okay, is that to the left of the boat ramp?
No, to the right, actually.
To the right, okay.
But the lake is actually quite high. With not having an outlet, it has restricted the area for casting, that's for sure.
And Rarefakaitu, do you say it's still high?
Yeah, that one there takes a while to soak through a bit too. So, there's still some quite high water. Okataka is another one that's very high at the moment, even though it's got an outlet. The outlet's fully open and it's not making a lot of difference.
Okay, and your favourite place down at O'Carey?
Yeah, that's been varying quite a lot, and that always makes life interesting when that happens. The gates have been wide open for a while and then they were shut down to various levels. At the moment they're running around about the 550 mark, which is quite a good time to fish with a sinking line. Not a lot happening down below the gates, but above the gates, in the area between the gates and the actual buoys, and they're off the jetty, there's still fish coming off there. I got 7 over the weekend. And other anglers are still catching there as well. So there's quite a few fish around.
Okay, and what fly were you using, Bert?
Well, I'm using a size 4 grey ghost now, it's one of Pat Swift's patterns, actually. It's got quite a bit of red flashy stuff in it, and man, they're nailing that really, really hard. They're still taking greens and browns, but they seem to like that grey ghost of that size. A bigger fly seem to be working.
Okay. That fly's been around for years, works for years too, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. Now, what about night fishing? You been out night fishing?
No, I haven't done any night fishing, but again, you know, the Nongataha mouth is probably a good one to be at.
Okay.
Floating line, longish trace, dead slow retrieve, or you can speed it up a bit. Lumo flies is always a good option to start with, or big black marabous and black woolly buggers of any colour. Just so long as they're bulky a bit. The moon's still going off, but with the weather we've got at the moment, you won't see much light from that anyway. So you can end up with using lumos, and they should pick up on that pretty quick. So you've got plenty of options. Mouth of the Ohau Channel, there's a few fish coming out of there, but it is very patchy, and some smelting happening inside the actual channel as well.
Okay, are you getting shags coming in and chasing a smelt?
Yeah, a few, but not many. It's mostly seems to be seagulls, and even then not big numbers, but they are smelt moving, and I expect that if there's a decent run, we'll see either shags and or seagulls in there having a feed, and that's when the fish really start to move.
And as soon as that happens, the work goes around town and all the anglers turn up as well.
Yeah, they sure do. There's anglers there every day at the moment, at various times, and night fishing as well.
Yeah.
And some of them are picking up some good fish, but it's just a matter of being there again, right place, right time, and having a go. The lake level is down a little bit, so you get a little bit of access out into the lake.
Okay. As you say, being there, it's a matter of being there at the right time, but that's fishing, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah.
You should have been here last Tuesday, mate.
Yeah, I've heard a few of those too, yeah, especially when I lived out of town and came over. Oh, it was really good. And get there on Saturday night. Oh, Thursday night was really good. Frustrating.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Bert. Excellent information once again. Now, your contact details, please.
Yeah, I'm on 0272896079. Flick us a text or a call, give us a call, and I'll, you know, what's happening with the weather or fishing or whatever you need to know.
Right, there you go. There's the offer anglers, Bert Robinson, Rotorua resident and Rotorua angler. 0272896079. Talk fly fishing, that's what he loves. Bert, thank you. We do appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. Good fishing.
Well, good. Thanks for that, and I'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Bert.
Okay,
see ya. Mr. Bert Robinson, he will answer your text or calls, 0272896079. You say, which way is the wind blowing, Bert? What fly do I use? Where do I go? Which river's up? Which river's down? Is it clean? Whatever. He's only too happy to help. Thank you, Bert. Okay, quick break, and then the fly fishing tip of the week. Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Now, I put on Facebook that we're going to talk about the Waikato fishery as well. I've spoken to Craig Cordwell just before the beginning of the show, and the Punu, the Mangatutu are all blowing out. They've had a huge amount of rain midweek, and the rivers are filthy. We hope to talk to Craig next Friday and get an update on fishing the Waikato region. Okay, the fly fishing tip of the week. The fly fishing tip of the week. Don't seek shelter when the wind blows. While it may be more difficult to fish, it often turns fish onto the bite. Fish for an upwind of the fish and cast downwind. Use the wind to your advantage. Makes sense, doesn't it? Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. Have a look at their website. rodandreel.co.nz. Hooked on Fly Fishing, be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.